You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Now, I'm ready to jump in. This is a foundational message. Let me tell you about foundational messages. They're important. In fact, the first 7 minutes of this message will lay the foundation for everything after, beginning with the message on this fruit and every other fruit that we talk about this summer. This is so important. Every statement that I make, these opening statements, these little messages that I'm going to give you in the next few moments of this introduction will be what you hang on to, which gives you, in addition to the Holy Spirit, conviction that we know this is obedience by just being here this morning. Whoever's preaching, whether it's Tim Carpenter, Lance, or the lead pastor, doesn't matter. We're faithful because we love God. We know he's true, he's faithful, he's just, he wants us to gather together. But there's always, in a pastor's heart, I have a desire to give you a morsel today of the message of the series that would make you want to wake up on a Sunday morning and say, I can't wait to come to church and to hear what has been prepared by the Holy Spirit through the preacher for me today. So that's the purpose of this introduction and these statements and these thoughts. So let me start. Are you ready? I want to ask you a question. Actually, it's a statement. It's true or false. You can answer it out loud if you'd like or nod your head. You ready? Everyone wants their life to matter. True or false? Good answer. True. Everyone. No one wants to waste their life. It's my opening thought. No one. No one wakes up in the beginning of a week and says, I hope that this is just a terrible week, that I lose my job, that I get in a car wreck, that it's not productive, I just waste a bunch of time. Nobody plans on doing that. That's not even realistic. I get it. Everyone here would support that. Nobody wants to waste their life. And in addition to that, spiritually, no one wants to stand before God empty-handed or unfruitful. We all desire to stand before God, if we're believers, and hear the words, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And yet the world seems to be the exact opposite when it comes to what it considers to be success. The world is obsessed with productivity. My watch is beeping on me. Hear me. My watch is beeping. Oh, cancel emergency, SOS. Yes! Okay, all right. Somehow I must have hit something and called the police. Okay, and so the world is obsessed with productivity. Here's how I know that. I read a lot. And every book that comes out, almost, I shouldn't say every book, but so many books that come out, especially lately, have everything to do with, hey, we've got to get it done. Whatever it takes, we've got to produce, we've got to have more, we've got to build empires. Here's a few examples of that in recent days. The first book I have for you here is this one, Smarter, Faster, Better. Fascinating read. Smarter, Faster, Better. Here's how you can be smarter, get work done faster, and be better, and have more. In fact, the tagline is this, the secrets of being productive in life and business, because that's what the world's obsessed with, being productive, being faster, being better, being smarter. Here's another book that was recently written, good read, Hyperfocus, how to be more productive in a world of distraction. It's a good read. It's got good thoughts. There's good principles in it. It's not a spiritual book, but there's good principles, but it's indicative of a world that is obsessed with being hyper-focused on being productive, on squeezing everything out of every single day, of every moment. It's produced workaholics out of society in many ways. Here's a book that you're familiar with probably. It's an older book than those two, and it's called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. These are powerful lessons in personal change by Stephen Covey, who has written so many great books on leadership. And not to criticize these books, but to illustrate our world is obsessed with this. And if you go to any bookstore or follow any Amazon book list, you're going to find books much like this one. People are always asking, how can I accomplish more? And they know it, so they're writing books on how you can accomplish more. But what I need you to understand this morning in this introduction is that while the world is focused on producing results, God is focused on producing fruit. God is focused on producing fruit. And you say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, the Bible doesn't just have one verse in Galatians 5 about fruit. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, I'll just give you five books of the Bible here, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy, fully pleasing to Him. You're bearing, here it is, fruit. Bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. To walk worthy, to fully please the Lord, results in bearing fruit in every good work. What we're learning here this morning is that God has always desired fruitfulness from His followers. Always. In fact, if you go back to the book that Josh mentioned earlier, Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, the first chapter of the first book, is the first time we see the word fruit. It says this, that God blessed them, He told Adam. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And here we are today. Filling the church with people because somebody was fruitful in your life. Somebody multiplied their family and resulted in obedience to Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful. Jesus also often used fruit bearing in the Gospels as an illustration of a spiritual life. He says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, so you'll recognize them. Here's how you recognize them. By their fruit. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus repeatedly taught this. Jesus repeatedly taught that a spiritual life produces visible fruit. He taught it in this passage, John 15:5. He talked about the fact that He's the vine, we're the branches. He is the vine, we are the branches. We're not the vine, He's the vine, we're the branches. So if we remain in Him, if the branch remains in the vine, it produces much fruit, meaningful fruit. Fruit that remains, fruit that makes a difference. Because without me, or because you can do nothing without me. And then our theme verse, one that we'll quote at least once every sermon, although I'll have, you know, dozens and dozens, maybe over 100 verses throughout the next 9 weeks. But in Galatians 5, Paul shows us what spiritual fruit actually looks like real time. Here it is. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Growing up, I memorized out of the King James Bible, so that would have been the word long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit, let me tell you what it is. It's goodness, gentleness, self-control, or temperance. Now, I want you to notice something in that verse. You got to see it. It's important. It's going to be your first note in just a moment. You can't miss it. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is these nine things. Now, I'm going to make the mistake. You're going to make the mistake. We're going to say at times fruits, but it's not. It's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is. So here's what it teaches us. It teaches us, our first note on the screen in your notes is that the fruit of the Spirit is one, the fruit of the Spirit is one complete work of God that produces a balanced Christian life. That's what we're after this morning. This is what the next 9 weeks are about. Understanding that the fruit of the Spirit, the desire of God, is to produce in us, to complete in us His work that produces a balanced Christian life. Life. That's the goal. We do not get to choose which fruit we want. We don't get to say, you know what? I want joy, but I'm not at all interested in long suffering. I just want joy. I want a good time. Give me joy, I'll pass on long suffering. We don't get to choose that way. We don't get to say, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'll take some of that goodness. Who wouldn't want goodness, but I'll pass on meekness? We don't get that choice. The fruit of the Spirit is one complete work of God that produces a balanced Christian life. The Holy Spirit grows fruit in us so that others can experience Jesus through us. Let me repeat that. The Holy Spirit grows fruit in us so that others can experience Jesus through us. Spiritual fruit is not just for you. Spiritual fruit is not just for personal enjoyment. Spiritual fruit is to feed others. It's to help others. Spiritual fruit in you is to invest and build up and encourage others. When someone is anxious in your life, they need peace from you. When someone is discouraged, they need joy. I'm looking down here at Pete. You were in my spark huddle. And sometimes, Pete, when we were in our spark huddle together, we would share prayer requests. And sometimes you might share something that was a little discouraging, right? Something that was heavy on you. And you say, guys, I'm not doing well today. I just need some prayer. And we would come alongside Pete and say, Pete, God's good. It's going to be okay. We're going to pray for you. But hey, man, God's good. God's in this. Thanks for coming, Pete. You mean a lot to us. And Pete would always say as he'd leave the room, he'd say, man, I'm so glad I came. I feel so much better. Remember that? I bet you still feel that way with your new spark huddle. It's amazing what happens when we're discouraged and somebody brings along some joy, some encouragement. God can use the fruit in you to encourage someone who's discouraged. When someone is difficult, like your spouse. Anybody ever had a difficult spouse? Caroline, raise your hand. They need patience from us. When someone is hurting, they need gentleness from us. When someone is broken, they need goodness from us. And the fruit of the Spirit, this is the good news, the fruit of the Spirit is never out of season. Sometimes certain fruits only grow in certain seasons, but the fruit of the Spirit is never out of season. And so this first summer fruit that we're going to talk about is the summer fruit of love. Now, I was born in 1965. And back in 1965, there was a very popular song that was written, came out, rose to number one on the charts. What the world needs now, sing it with me, is love, you old timers. Sweet love, it's the only thing that there's just too little of. Oh, Chloe, did you like that? Get to see Dad in action? Yeah, she's like, what in the world is this? What's Dad doing? I'm singing a 1965 song. That song is 61 years old. But you know what? It's still true today. What the world needs now is love. We live in a culture that's overflowing with division. It's overflowing with loneliness and confusion and violence and emotional exhaustion. As I see it in my own family, at times, people are connected digitally but disconnected relationally. One of the reasons why we go on an 18-day vacation every year, sometimes it's 16, 17, 18, depending on how it falls, but this year it ended up being 18 days, is so that we can get relationally connected because this world has digitally disconnected. We've learned to throw iPads at our kids and phones and things, and I'm not being critical of this in a sense. I'm helping us all to wake up to realize how important it is to make sure that we are not disconnected because of our devices. So every vacation, I organize everything to the point where it's all about relationships. And so every time we have a meal, at the end of the meal, one of our family members is given the task to bring a question to the meal that everyone around the table has to answer, including the kids, including Kimber. I mean, her answers are crazy. MJ's answers are nuts, but they're good. They're applicable. They're getting better every year. It takes about an hour after the dinner. We go around that table. Tiffany's question this year was, I said, Tiffany, you've got the question. What's your question? She goes, okay, I've been working on this. I've been thinking. All 15 of us around the table. Of course, we missed Zoe, Millie, and Zoe. That was not good, but we'll get them next year. So around the table, 15 of us, and Tiffany says, all right, I want you to name one good thing, one thing you've seen in your spouse or your sibling. So KJ, you do Bentley. So Seuss, you do Mo. Mo, you do Seuss. MJ, you do Laney. Laney, you do MJ. It was beautiful. Caroline, you do preacher, or Eric, you do Caroline, except one thing you've seen in them that has grown this year, and just share how you've seen it and how you've noticed it and how it's made a difference. We cried. We laughed. We had a great time. It lasted an hour. And as we left the table, I said, guys, this is what I want our family to do. I want us to be close. I want us to be relational. I want us to talk about things, to open up, to not just be addicted to TVs and screens and computers and phones and iPads and gamers. Let's be careful. Because this is what's happening to the world today. People have more followers on social media than they, and fewer real friendships. People are constantly entertained, but emotionally drained. People talk endlessly about love while often understanding very little about what real love actually is. So I want to start this series this morning by understanding what love really is, because in the Greek language, there's several different words for love. Some of the words for love in the Greek language in the New Testament are words that deal with friendship love. Some are words that deal with family love. Some are words that deal with, for you married couples, romantic love. All good, all amazing, all great. But there's one love that's different from all the rest of the loves. And it comes from this word, agape. It's agape love. Now, what's different about this love is this is sacrificial, selfless, unconditional love. It's different from any kind of love. And this is the kind of love that God showed us and the kind of love that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. This is why we can only have this love empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, biblical love is not merely something we feel. It can be, but biblical love is not merely something we feel. It is something we choose. Biblical love is not just something we say. It's something we show. That's biblical love. Biblical love is something that only the Holy Spirit can produce in us. We see this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It says this hope will not disappoint us. It will not, because God's love has been poured out. God's love has been poured out. God's love in our hearts. How does that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. The entire theme this year is how the Holy Spirit impacts our lives, in our lives. He's in our lives. He works through us. He's been given to us. The love we're talking about this morning is supernatural. You can't produce it yourself. It's impossible. You can't do it without Him. The only way to have the kind of love that we're going to talk about this morning, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Eric. It's not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of Jesus. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the only way to truly know how to love, is to understand this fruit. It's not personality driven. You say, man, I like our pastor. He always says, I love you. Man, I love this. I love the way he does that. Well, thank you, but it's not the kind of love I'm talking about. It's Spirit produced. So let's take a look today at this first summer fruit called love. And I want to give you three ways to, before I close, and I'll go quickly, but I want to give you three ways that you can produce the fruit of love in your life. Are you ready? Number one, now this is important. This is critical. If you don't get this, the other two are useless. They're useless. So sleep through two and three, stay awake for one. Because the only hope of staying awake through two and three is to get one. Are you ready? Here it is. You got to experience God's love personally. It's the only way. You got to experience it. Now, my wife will tell you this, that she did not experience God's love personally until about 15 years ago, right? 20 years ago. You say, oh, how old is she? She's 61. And she just experienced God's love personally. She will even tell you, look, I don't know if I was saved then. I may have been. She's fine with it. She's content. She knows God loves her. She knows she's a Christian. But she says, I had a performance-based love. I was trying to please everyone and please man and perform the Christian life in a way that would make everybody happy. But I wasn't experiencing God's love personally. This is different. This is unique. Now, I want to give you a passage of Scripture that may be the most important passage, although, like I said, I'm going to give you dozens over the next few weeks, but this one is one that you will want to write down and meditate on. You don't have to memorize it. Meditate on it for weeks and maybe months to come. Here it is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. This is amazing. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray, Paul said, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, firmly rooted in love, may be able to comprehend how deep the Father's love for us, how deep, how vast, beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make this wretch a treasure. I don't understand it. God's love is so amazing. You got to understand the length, the width, the height, the depth of God's love. And to know Christ's love surpasses knowledge. It surpasses it. It's beyond anything you could ever imagine. And that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to me, church family. Everything in the Christian life flows from an understanding of the love of God. Everything. Everything in the Christian life flows from an understanding of the love of God. You see, many people struggle to love others because they never really feel secure in God's love. And so because of that, they struggle to love others. This is why oftentimes rejected people reject others. They've never really felt secure in God's love. So when they are rejected, they reject. But we see when Jesus was rejected, he just loved even more. We rejected him, by the way. We crucified him. And yet he loves us. Wounded people often wound others if they don't understand the love of God. Angry people often spread anger. Empty people often demand from others what only God can provide if they've never experienced God's love personally. But those who have experienced God's love personally, when they become secure in God's love, something begins to change. I saw this in my wife. You stop earning acceptance. You stop it. You stop living desperately for validation. You stop measuring your worth by other people's approval. Because you understand this, and this is a phrase of seven words in Scripture that will change your life forever. Seven words, amazing, seven, the perfect number. It's one verse, seven words, here it is, it's amazing, it's powerful, it's life-changing, it means everything to understanding God's love personally. It's 1 John in chapter number 4 in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. That's how we love, no other way. We don't love because we can. We only love because he first loved us. And because he first loved us, we can love. The Christian life does not begin with our love. The Christian life begins with God's love. God loved us when we were still sinners. God loved us when we were still broken. God loved us when we were still rebellious. God loved us before we ever deserved it. Think about this. Think about this verse. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God proves his own love toward us, for us, and that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, he died for us. Think about that. How deep the Father's love for us. While we were still sinners, while we were rejecting him, spitting in his face, crucifying him, he loved us. This is agape love. Not conditional, not performance based. It is sacrificial, unconditional love. And when we receive that love deeply, we become capable of giving that love freely. We've got to receive it deeply so we can give it freely. The Holy Spirit produces love through believers who are rooted in the love of God. To give real biblical love, you first must have received love. So have you ever received, truly received, the love of Jesus displayed on the cross? As his blood was shed for you, as he died for you, he rose again on that third day for you to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never received that love, I encourage you before the end of the day, the service, before you leave, either to come to the altar and let me pray with you. Let someone have just a time with you to pray over you, to see that you understand what little Blakely understood the other day. When she said, Daddy, I want to be saved. I want to become a Christian. I understand what Jesus did. You say, well, that's embarrassing. I'm not six or seven. I'm 17. I'm 27. I'm 37. I'm 67. No, it's not. Because Scripture tells us that unless we come like a little child, we won't be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's coming humbly, however old you are, and saying, without Jesus, there's no hope. And just trust Him. You can do that today. It'd be amazing. Number one, experience God's love personally. Number two, embrace God's love positively. Embrace God's love positively. You know, one of the clearest evidence that a person is walking with God is not merely how much Bible they know, how loudly they sing, or how spiritual they may appear. It's not. Those are nice things, but it's not really what shows that we are truly a Christian. It is how we love people. It is how we, you say, where did you learn that? Well, where'd you find out that? You mean walking with God is not important? Incredibly important. Singing is incredibly important. But the number one way that this world will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ is if we love. I got that in John 13:34. I give you a new command. He says, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, he says, Jesus says, by this will everyone know that you are mine, that you are my disciple, that you are a believer. They will know that by how you love one another. How powerful is that? The most important evidence that we have of being a Christian is how we love. And biblical love is not merely emotional affection. It's not. It is the deliberate decision to seek another person's good. That's biblical love. And I'm thankful for that. I really am, because my emotions go up and down. I can look, if you just go by emotions, you're going to be all over the place. Am I right? I mean, sometimes I feel good about it. Sometimes I don't feel so good. Sometimes I want a pastor. Sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I love. You know, sometimes I can be all over the place. It's not based on that. And it's encouraging to me because I'm not trapped by my emotions. Sometimes I come home tired, right, honey? I've had a long, I kind of did that yesterday because got back from vacation and it's just been a whirlwind. I went from 7 texts a day to 77 texts a day, you know. And so I did come home yesterday, had a wedding last night, and I came home yesterday a little tired. But you know what? I can still love. Even when I'm tired. You can love when you're frustrated. You can love when you're unappreciated. You can love when people are difficult. Anybody can love easy people. But spiritual fruit grows when we begin to love difficult people. Amen. It's easy to love easy people. Amen. Oh, I love them because they love me. I'm good to them because they're good to me. I like them because they like me. That's easy. But sometimes God uses difficult people to grow us. And we often pray, don't we? Lord, I just want to be more loving. And so what God does is He says, okay, I'll answer that prayer. I'll put somebody difficult in your life. That's how He does it. Because fruit grows through pressure. Patience grows when people irritate us. Amen. Forgiveness grows when people hurt us. Love grows when people disappoint us. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is not just about happier living. It is evidence that the Holy Spirit is changing us. That's what it is. Love is not weakness. Love is spiritual maturity. Sometimes I think we look at love as just weakness. Boy, he just loves too much. He's too forgiving. No, that's spiritual maturity. That means the Spirit of God is growing you. Jesus said the world would recognize his disciples by their love. Again, John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So number one, experience God's love personally. Number two, embrace God's love positively. And number three, and in closing, express God's love practically. Are you ready for this one? I always like to end a message on a way that we can actually practice the sermon. So far we've learned a lot of things. But now we get a chance to decide if we're going to take it out of this room and take it to our homes, our workplaces, Walmart, the streets of Hot Springs. So thirdly, express God's love practically. Now, I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. You're probably not ready for it. I wasn't ready for it when I first read it. I'm going to be honest with you. I've probably read this verse 2,000 times, and I still shiver in my shoes when I read it. Are you ready? Here's what Jesus said. But I say to you who listen. I thought that was interesting. I guess most people don't listen. He says, so if you listen, I'm talking to you. I say to you who listen, love your enemies. Wow. Do good. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Now, my response to that is, oh my, that's a lot. I mean, it was enough at love your enemies. And then he goes on to say, I got to do good to those who hate me, bless those who curse me, pray for those who mistreat me. Those words are easy to read, but incredibly difficult to practice and to live out when emotions are raw and when people have hurt you deeply. Amen. Those are hard to live out. And the truth is this, none of us can naturally do that. None of us can. It's hard to respond that way. Amen. Naturally, when somebody hurts me, I'm not good with that. When somebody hates me, when somebody mistreats me, I mean, my flesh doesn't want to react that way. When we hurt, we want revenge. That's natural, right? Oh, yeah? We'll see about that. That's natural. That's flesh. That's what we see all over our country right now. When we're rejected, we want to withdraw. When we're attacked, we want to strike back. When we're mistreated, bitterness can easily take root. That's natural. That's what normally happens. That's what I see even oftentimes in the church. I see that. Because naturally, outside of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that's how we will react. And that is why this is called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of you. Amen? Because I can't produce this kind of stuff. No way. This kind of love can only come by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as we walk with God, and as we surrender to God, and as we stay in His Word, and as we yield to the Holy Spirit, God changes the way we respond to people. It's fascinating. But as I do those things, as I walk with God and surrender to God, I stay in His Word, I yield to the Holy Spirit, God changes me. And I have compassion. A waitress can mistreat my table, my family. I can get a bad service at a restaurant and still leave a big tip. And in my heart, I can understand, look, I've had bad days. It's okay. And sometimes the waitress will actually say, not often, but sometimes, I think you made a mistake. I mean, she knew she wasn't deserving of the 30% tip I get. I usually tip bigger to people that mistreat me than the people that treat me right. I know it's an opportunity for a testimony. Did it all vacation long, regardless of the service. Wasn't always great. But in my heart, I know it's given me an opportunity to show God's love when someone mistreats me. Love is that way. And the Holy Spirit can give us power to pause before reacting, to forgive when hurt, to respond with grace, to serve when it's difficult, to pray when bitterness wants to grow. Can I tell you that it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are still together today? I'm only here today because you have forgiven me. I have hurt you before. I've not always been a good pastor to you. How do I be a perfect husband for 37 years? Based on sometimes my reaction to my wife, based on sometimes the way that I've treated my wife, honestly, naturally, she should have left me. I mean, I can be anxious and angry sometimes and frustrating, but because of the fruit of the Spirit of love. And by the way, she hadn't been all that easy to live with either, amen? And I'm joking. By the way, I'm not really joking, I'm telling the truth. I really am. But you know why I do this? Because I want to be vulnerable and transparent. I'm not saying I have a horrible marriage. I have a great marriage. I really do. I love my wife with all my heart. But I'm not standing before you because we are a perfect example. I'm standing before you because of forgiveness, because of grace, because it's been difficult, but we've learned to get through those difficult times because of love. Amen. That's the lesson. That's Jesus made love practical. Love is not merely something we say. Love is something we live. So let me close, and I'll be quick. I'm going to give you four ways quickly to live the fruit of the Spirit. Four quick ways. This is how you can do it based on the verse we read. Number one, accept others in love. Accept others. This is the phrase in that text, love your enemies. You need to learn to accept your enemies in love. Now, let me help you. This does not mean approving sinful or wrongful behavior. Everybody feel better? Because sometimes I think that's what we do. That's our excuse. I'm not forgiving them. I'm not loving them because they've done this or they've lived this way or they've done this. No. That's not what I'm talking about. It does not mean approval of sinful or wrongful behavior. It means refusing to allow hatred to control your heart. That's what this means. And you may need boundaries. And you probably do. And you may need wisdom. And you will. And sometimes, guess what else you need? Distance. Sometimes you need distance. And that's okay. But through the Holy Spirit, you can refuse to live in bitterness and in hatred. You can. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, assist others with love. Do good to those who hate you. Do something for them. Be kind to them. Well, they hate me. I know. Assist them. Serve them. Love looks for practical ways to help and to serve. That's what love does. Love looks for ways, practical ways, just to be a blessing to someone, even if they haven't been a blessing to you. Sometimes love looks like listening. Sometimes love looks like encouraging. Sometimes love looks like helping or giving or forgiving. And I'm going to tell you right now what the flesh says. You know the flesh is talking when it says, ignore them. That's the flesh. Just ignore them. Turn your back and walk away. Sit on the other side of the church. Block them on your phone. That's the flesh. But the Spirit says, show goodness anyway. Show goodness anyway. Number three, affirm others in love. Bless those who curse you. How do you do that? Well, let me tell you how you do that. Love changes the way we speak. Amen? It's amazing. When you have the fruit of love, you talk differently. You speak differently. Someone can scream at you and you can react in a way that is, hey, I understand what you're going through. I get it. It's okay. Get it out. It's okay. If you need to take it out on me, it's fine. I've had these moments. It's just incredible how love changes your tone. A blessing is a positive word spoken over someone. I was walking down 3rd Street, true story, 2 days ago. Just got back from vacation, Glow and I. Thursday. We got back Thursday at 3, and Glow was so happy. And so we took Glow for a walk. And I'm walking to the church, and I see this gentleman, and he's in his flower garden. And he's got a beautiful flower garden on the corner of 3rd and South. If you ever want to come by, it's amazing. And I complimented him. And there's some racial tension going on in our country for different reasons. There seems to always be. And I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just simply to say, when I complimented his garden, he jumped up and began to attack me verbally. Probably because of my skin color. And he thought I was, you know, maybe referring to something. I don't know. I have no clue. But it was intense. Glow was with me, you know. And he wasn't violent. He was just, words were not kind. And I looked at him, I said, brother, I said, I'm so sorry. I must have said something to offend you. And I just need you to know, I live four houses down at 621 3rd Street. And I'm your friend and I'm your neighbor and I love you. And sincerely, you've got the best yard in the neighborhood. And he said, really? He said, you say you love me? I said, yeah, I love you, man. You're my neighbor. He said, I love you too, man. Everything calmed down. He said, you really like my garden? I said, I love your garden. Love this thing. It's amazing. I don't know how you do it. I see you out here every day working on it. He said, yeah. Well, my grandpa taught me how to do this. My grandpa, he was amazing. My grandpa had a farm, and he taught me how to do all. I said, I'm telling you, grandpa must have been incredible. Oh, he was my best friend. Before long, And of course, Glow wasn't hurting anything. She's just like, thank you, thank you. She is. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Lord, how does this work? It's just amazing how a word spoken, a word fitly spoken, is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It's amazing. The spirit-filled believer refuses to gossip, slander, revenge, or tear others down. Instead, love speaks life, grace, and truth. And finally, appeal to God for others. I use the word appeal because it says to pray for those who mistreat you, because sometimes all you can do is pray, right? Have you ever done all you can do and it's just still nothing's changing? Hey, prayer is, it will change it. And sometimes it's not them that needs to be changed, it's you. That's what prayer does. Sometimes it changes their heart and sometimes it changes ours. It is difficult to hate someone when you're sincerely praying for them. Amen. And the flesh wants revenge, but the Holy Spirit leads us towards prayer, surrender, and healing. So let me sum it all up before the worship teams comes up. Real biblical love is supernatural. That's it. That's the whole sermon. You ready? You got it? This is not produced by Erica Pacey. It's not produced by a sermon on Sunday morning. It's not a video. Oh, the cool video on love. I love it. I think I'll love because of the video. No, you missed it. It's that. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can accomplish any of these throughout the next 9 weeks, beginning with love. Worship team, would you come up? I'm going to close. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for bearing with us. Josh said it so well. This is a longer service than usual, about 7 or 8 minutes longer. Thank you. As the worship team comes and as I close, I would imagine not many of us naturally feel this way. Amen. I mean, you may not naturally feel this kind of love, but as you walk with God, the Holy Spirit can change your heart, your reactions, your words, and your relationships. He can. And this kind of love Jesus commands is the kind of love the Holy Spirit empowers. And the power of God can help you, the Spirit of God can help you to love people you never thought you could love. This is the miracle of spiritual fruit. And so I'm going to make a promise to you. You ready for this? In fact, I have so much confidence in what I'm about to say. It's a little bit of a gamble. But I have very much confidence that you will experience one or more of these things this week. Everybody in this room. This week, someone around you is going to need the fruit of love. This week. Tomorrow. At Teen Rev. At work. At home. You're going to meet somebody discouraged that needs your encouragement. It may be your kid. It may be your grandchild. It may be your spouse. Hey, come here, let's talk. I can see you. Something wrong? You okay? This week, a lonely person may need attention. This week at Teen Revolution, there may be a young person sitting by themselves contemplating suicide because they just feel abandoned and not loved. And you, with the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit, will sit next to them and say, can we talk? Can I pray for you? You just look lonely. And I want to be your friend. An anxious person this week may need patience. A hurting person is going to need compassion. You may run across someone this week who's homeless and they just need a meal. You know it's you. You know God told you. It won't be every time. But somebody this week might need a dollar or two just to get a cup of coffee. I don't know. A difficult person may need grace. And an enemy may need love. And the question will not be, do they deserve it? Because they don't. And neither do you. The question is, will I allow the Holy Spirit to love them through me? That's the question. Will I allow the Holy Spirit to love them through me and the fruit of love? You see, the fruit of the Spirit was never meant to stop with us. It was meant to nourish the people around us. That's why we have it. It's not to stop with us. It's to nourish others around us. And so may we as Gospelite visibly demonstrate the love of Christ. And this morning, may Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, may the first summer fruit impact your family, your church, your work, your city, your world. May we exhibit this fruit this week as we develop and produce the spirit of the fruit of love in our lives. I love you, church family. Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for being so attentive. Next week, joy. Wow, it's going to be awesome. But for today, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, you've never received God's love, I want to give you an opportunity as we close out in what we call a response time to come to the altar. Got to pray with somebody this morning. It was beautiful. I'd love to pray with you if you need prayer. Just a moment, whatever you need. If you've never experienced God's love personally, you want to accept it this morning, I'll be up front with others. If you need prayer, we're here. We really are. Can't wait for tonight. But I'm not worried about tonight right now. I'm worried about the next 5 minutes when maybe, not worried, but I'm in the moment right now to meet a need, to fill a need of someone who may just need to be encouraged by their pastor or by a friend. So if you need to come, you respond by coming to the altar, praying in your seat, or standing in worship, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Father, I love you. I thank you for this moment. I thank you, God, for this series. I'm so excited about this year. Lord, it's hard to believe we're almost halfway over all these sermons and the emphasis on the Holy Spirit, but God, you're changing us from the inside out. You really are. God, I've been so blessed by this sermon personally. It's really, really having an impact on my life right now, and I'm so grateful that it's changing me right now as I stand before this congregation. Your love has awakened me. Thank you. I need it. And I'll need it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I'll need a fresh anointing because this season, this fruit is never out of season. The fruit of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?